Hi, my name is Alana Schreiber, and I'm the managing producer for Louisiana Considered at WWNO and WRKF. Earlier this year, I had the chance to report on the 2022 Scripps National Spelling Bee. For anyone who might not remember, last year, Zaila Avant-Garde became the first African-American young woman and first Louisianan to be crowned Spelling Bee champion. I got to get all of her advice for this year's spellers and hear about all of her exciting other ventures, like basketball, juggling, and three Guinness World Record titles. And then I even talked to some of this year's competitors from Louisiana to hear their responses to Zaila's advice. But my conversation with Zaila would not have been possible without the support of listeners like you. So please donate what you can so that we can keep bringing you the kinds of stories that you'd like to listen to. You can donate by going to one of our websites, WWNO or WRKF.org. You can make a one-time contribution or become a sustaining member. Thanks for supporting local journalism. Now, here's the show.
This is Louisiana Considered on WWNO in New Orleans and WRKF in Baton Rouge. I'm Diane Mack. Just ahead, it's the fourth edition of Liner Notes, our original segment where Louisiana Considered's producer Alana Schreiber speaks with local musicians and gets a behind-the-scenes insight of their songwriting process. But first, some of the most sought-after musicians in the world are heading to New Orleans as the Crescent City Chamber Music Festival kicks off its seventh anniversary with seven free public concerts, featuring ensemble in residence, the renowned Manhattan Chamber Players, and special guest artist, founding artistic director, violist, and New Orleans native son, Luke Fleming, has all the details. Luke, welcome to Louisiana Considered.
Thank you, Diane. Great to be here.
Glad to have you. Now, the pandemic forced you out of Manhattan and returned you home to New Orleans, where you put down new roots, and it seems you have been thriving.
Absolutely. Crescent City Chamber Music Festival is a festival that I began in 2016 when I was still living in New York City, where I did my grad school and doctoral studies at Juilliard. But moving back to New Orleans after the pandemic was a little earlier than planned. I always had designs to move back to New Orleans, but the pandemic kind of made that happen a lot quicker. And it's just made me that much more able to focus on developing the festival, growing it, and also including more local artists and incorporating more local venues and outreach venues as well. It's just made me feel that much better about having the festival in my hometown.
Well, congratulations on 7 years of keeping this free chamber music festival alive. What is it about the music that keeps you going?
I remember the first time I heard chamber music performed. I was just, in Louisiana Public Schools, actually in Baton Rouge at the time, and this group of musicians from the Baton Rouge Symphony came to our class and performed a movement of a Brahms string quartet, and I was just absolutely blown away. No other, classical musicians in my family or anything, so it wasn't a natural progression like so many of my colleagues who grew up in musical families, but I just stuck with it, and chamber music specifically just hooked me from the beginning, playing in things like string quartets and mixed chamber ensembles versus orchestral or solo playing, especially as a violist where you're so involved in the inner workings of a group and the inner voices. There's nothing that makes me happier than playing chamber music and getting to bring my best friends and colleagues down to New Orleans to play in the city, and not just in the free public concerts, but also in all the different outreach venues we perform in over the course of the festival.
It's an ambitious outreach program that's very close to your heart as you're bringing music to folks who might not get the chance to attend a concert in person. How is this program important to the festival's mission?
I started playing outreach concerts, and it wasn't calling them that at the time, of course, but when I was a kid, my parents are both ministers, many people in my family too, grandparents as well, and spent a lot of time visiting hospitals and nursing homes and knowing a lot of members of the church who were in those sorts of facilities. And once I started playing an instrument, I often would play in places like that for them just to kind of brighten their day a bit. And that kind of started me down the path of having a lot of interest in doing those kinds of concerts as well as your traditional public concerts. every year I'm reminded of how important it is that that be the focus of our festival rather than just an adornment. You know, over the course of the festival, we do 7 free public concerts, but we do over 30 outreach performances in hospitals and nursing homes and schools and helping organizations, mission sites, that kind of thing around the city. And the amount of interest and joy and gratitude that we feel from the people we play for, whether it be preschool kids in a daycare program or residents of an elderly care center or adults with autism who have a daycare kind of site. We played a thing like that as well. It's immensely varied and different and a great challenge to present these different kinds of concerts for different audiences, but it's really, really gratifying.
And what is on tap at this year's festival? What will concertgoers experience?
7 free public concerts. Anyone can come. You don't need a ticket. You just walk right in. The ensembles in residence that we have coming this year are the Manhattan Chamber Players, an organization I direct, made up of some of the finest chamber musicians based in New York. It was an organization I began when I left the string quartet I've been playing with for years in 2015. And they've come to the festival every year since its inception, so they'll be there. Also, the Trio Appassionata, which is a piano trio consisting of a piano, violin, and cello. The cellist is also a composer. We've performed and premiered her works at Crescent City Chamber Music Festival a number of times. Her name is Andrea Casarubio. This is her piano trio, and they'll be the featured ensemble the first weekend. The Manhattan Chamber Players, the featured ensemble the second weekend of concerts. In the middle, we have a concert that incorporates a number of vocal artists, classical musicians based in New Orleans, the New Orleans-based Lott Quartet, of which I'm also a member, and other members of the Louisiana Philharmonic. That'll be on Tuesday, October 11th. It's 18 individual artists, 2 ensembles, 7 free public concerts. Every program is different. You won't hear any repetitions of any pieces, and the venues as varied as Urban South Brewery with beer flights paired with classical pieces to, you know, a formal classical music recital at Dixon Concert Hall. We're doing, you know, Stravinsky's Soldier's Tale and Shostakovich Piano Quintet and Popper Requiem for 3 cellos and piano. So all kinds of mixed combinations of instruments and music from different periods and backgrounds.
How does this festival take what some may perceive to be stuffiness out of the classical music experience?
All of our concerts this year are 1 hour long, no intermission. Sometimes these programs tend to get lengthy for the average concert goer, especially in this day and age. I think one thing COVID did was kind of shorten concert lengths just because of the amount of time people were comfortable being in a closed venue. And even though that may be less of an issue for people now, that shortened concert length has kind of stuck, at least for us. And so I think that makes it a little more accessible. Also, I think something that often will keep people away from the concert hall for classical music is they're worried they're going to clap at the wrong moment or they don't know what to wear. You can wear shorts and a t-shirt to a classical music concert, especially in South Louisiana, and you don't have to worry about clapping at the wrong moment. No one's going to shame you or anything like that. Furthermore, almost every concert is preceded by a pre-concert talk and Q&A, you know, 20 minutes, a half hour before the concert starts, to do a little 20-minute thing like that with a little break before the music starts. And these are not pre-concert lectures. These are not academic kind of things. These are ways to give the audience things to listen for, to make the music a little more relatable, to tell the stories behind the pieces and reasons they were composed, what was going on in the composer's life when they were written. And I've found over the years that people who come to these pre-concert talks are able to experience the concerts with a lot more context and a lot more enjoyment for something that to them might seem very esoteric and distant and irrelevant. So I think that helps a lot too.
Yeah. And what compels you to offer these world-class concerts cost-free?
So by making the concerts free, I think people feel less like they're taking a risk with spending money on something they're not going to enjoy. They can walk in. If it's not their thing, they can walk out. Thankfully, I feel like when people walk into our concerts, they generally aren't going to walk out. But I don't want people to feel like they can't come and hear classical music simply because they don't want to spend the money. That seems like a silly reason to me.
Crescent City Chamber Music Festival, founding artistic director and violist, Luke Fleming. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Diane.
The Crescent City Chamber Music Festival runs October 6th through 16th with free public concerts in venues throughout New Orleans. More info is online at crescentcitychambermusicfestival.com. You're listening to Louisiana Considered on 89.9 WWNO in New Orleans and 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. I'm Diane Mack. In partnership with America Amplified, today we are excited to bring you the fourth episode of Liner Notes, where local musicians walk us through their songwriting process. Louisiana Considered's Alana Schreiber sat down with Eva Lavallo, a New Orleans-based singer-songwriter, and Katie Martucci, producer and violinist. They share the inspiration and musical journey of one of Eva's latest releases, Midnight Snack.
My name is Eva Lavallo, and I am the songwriter, and I play guitar and sing on this track.
My name is Katie Martucci. I helped produce Midnight Snack, and I play the strings.
I was doing this very depressing internship in Kentucky, and I didn't have like much of a community there, much to do, and I ended up playing a lot of guitar that summer and learning a lot of different like riffs on the guitar. And I kept driving to Nashville to like make friends with different people and connect with some community. And I just came up with this sort of riff that reminded me of like being on the highway and going back and forth between Kentucky and Nashville. And ended up having like a series of kind of like ridiculously dramatic flings over the summer. And but they were all just like, more projections of like something more serious. And so I guess like just like the consistency and the idea of like traveling on the highway over and over again was kind of like how I started the song. So it's got the acoustic guitar just doing that same guitar riff over and over again. And then we've got the treble lower guitar register, which kind of sounds like a bass, and that's sort of like the country alternative spooky sounding thing going on.
Keep an ear out for the baritone guitar and like how wobbly and warm it is. Certain parts of the strings get like extra breathy, where you can like hear the bow hair move across the string and different like incidental sounds that come from that.
Then then there's the pedal steel, which is really like, I think, what gives it its most kind of like nostalgically sad, spooky, vibey themes.
Pedal steel, we had our friend and engineer Chris Stafford do maybe like four takes of playing through, just kind of improvising.
There's this one pedal line, it's like, ah. For the entire time we were mixing it, I was convinced it was like a vocal part that was rogue, but it's actually pedal steel.
That became like an arranging tool for me to play violin around and just kind of work with this ebb and flow and see, try to just answer what the song needed.
So the pedal steel and the strings are kind of having an interaction, kind of in conversation. So yeah, the lyrics, the journey from verse one to verse two. 65 south, 74 miles to our house is kind of just like rhythmically the kind of way I feel about just like getting on the highway and having the exit signs pass one after another.
You only call me at 4 on a Friday.
I was trying to like encapsulate the back and forth of like two people who know that it's just like this short-term fleeting thing, but you're trying to like project a lot of like emotions or fake intimacy onto some experience because you're just trying to like get the most out of it, but you both kind of know that you're not much to each other ultimately. And so I think the lyrics kind of speak to that of like, you know, you only call me at 4 on a Friday, but I'm kind of like retaliating by only showing up at 1 a.m.
Don't show up till 1 to make it seem like things are going my way.
The consistent rhythm of that comes through, I think, in the verses until I get exasperated in the chorus.
It's not time for that. We don't have time for that. I'm just here to make you laugh, here to be your midnight snack. Here to slow down panic attacks. Here to keep you off track. Here.
I love the second chorus so much. It feels just like heavy in a really good way. The verses have totally set up the emotional landscape that we're in. So when you hear those lyrics in the chorus a second time, you're kind of like, okay, yeah, this is talking about some shit. The kind of drama of the arrangement that we created and the production that we put on helps to like kind of reinforce like, you know, intimacy and human connection and all these things that can play out in seemingly, you know, inane or banal moments between people or driving on the highway.
These in-between periods of our life are just as like significant and sometimes like more anxiety producing than like the big milestones and the big secure transitions. And I think writing about those periods of time can be really helpful for me. And I hope that like people enjoy giving the drama that those periods of time deserve.
Say like me, but in the morning you ask me one time.
That was Eva Lavallo's Midnight Snack. And you can watch her and Katie Martucci perform live this Thursday, October 6th at 7 p.m. at Saturn Bar in New Orleans. From WWNO in New Orleans and WRKF in Baton Rouge, you've been listening to Louisiana Considered. I'm Diane Mack. Thanks to our guest, Crescent City Chamber Music Festival founder and violist Luke Fleming, and musicians Eva Lavallo and Katie Martucci. Our managing producer is Alana Schreiber, and our digital editor is Caitlin Umholtz. Our engineers are Garrett Pittman, Aubrey Procell, and Thomas Walsh. You can listen to Louisiana Considered Monday through Friday at noon and 7:30 p.m. It's available on Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcast. And before we let you go, a quick reminder, this week is our fall membership drive here at WWNO and WRKF. So if you like listening to Louisiana Considered and all of the other programs we offer, then you can support us with a one-time donation or by becoming a sustaining member. Go to WWNO or WRKF.org to find out how you can support our stations so that we can keep bringing you the kinds of stories you'd like to listen to.
Major support for Louisiana Considered provided by Rouse's Markets, a Louisiana shopping experience, with additional support from the Historic New Orleans Collection.